been predicting a bloodbath. What does that mean? He's going to exact a bloodbath? There's something wrong here. How respectful I am of the American people and their goodness. But how much more do they have to see from him to understand that this isn't what our country is about? Praising Hitler, praising the Russians. Honestly, I mean,
what?
Condemning our soldiers for losing or dying in war or being captured in war. He said, what's wrong with Russia? They defeated Hitler. What about the millions of Americans who risked or gave their lives? What about him saying that soldiers buried in Europe, he didn't want to visit them because they were losers?
Okay, first off, it's Monday and I already want to start swinging. That's Nancy Pelosi. When the hell did he ever praise Hitler? Look, I've got issues with Trump, but when the hell did he ever praise Hitler? I think somebody's eating too much of her bougie ice cream in her bougie Sub-Zero bougie freezer in her bougie mansion in San Francisco, and she doesn't know what reality is anymore. They're mad, and by they, I mean the left. They're just mad because they have to run for election, and, you know, heaven forbid. So they're having this huge tantrum, and they're trying to say that Trump threatened to murder everybody. Is that, I'm trying to get my head around the exact, you know, distillation of the actual claim here. Welcome to the program. It's Dana Loesch. God help us. It's Monday. And if we don't have thirsty clout chasers mad over calendars, then we've got, you know, thirsty clout chasing Democrats who are, you know, mad over the fact that they have to run for re-election. We got a lot to touch on. So we're going to get to all of that stuff. Making friends, you know, that's what we do on the program. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can watch the simulcast, Channel 347 DirecTV as well. YouTube, Facebook, all of that good stuff. Sign up for the newsletter over at Substack. All right, so first things first. This whole, I listened to the comments, okay? So he was speaking. Trump was giving his speech, and he was discussing specifically the economy, and he was talking about the auto industry and everything else. And I got to tell you, I like to call balls and strikes, and I also hold grudges. I hold grudges. It's not a positive thing for me, but I hold grudges, and Pepperidge Farm never forgets. So it's true. Kane can attest. How long do I hold grudges, dude?
Oh, man. I think you're still holding some on me.
I'm not. I'm just making fun of you for it.
I'm just saying it's possible.
It's not a grudge because you would know. You would know.
That's true.
I'm making fun of you for it.
That is true. That is true.
But I get aggravated because the primary was run. This is why you need to like bring people together and have unity, because you have to. I have friends who are hardcore MAGA folks. And I have friends who are, I actually kind of bit the head off one. Because they're like, well, I'm just going to be considering voting for RFK Jr. because I'm like, why? Oh, you're a conservative? Sit down. Shut up. You're going to sit here and vote away gun rights because they're mad. First off, this is how politics works. You don't get everything that you want all the time. People take it way too personally. They get way too butthurt. And I think Trump is one of them. He gets butthurt over everything. I'm going to tell you, that's true. And you know it. I don't care how much you love him. Shush. That's not what this is about. If you need people to defend you over insane media attacks, you got to be bringing those people into the fold. This is the time where he's got to be bringing everyone in the fold. And he was saying some things in his speech where I was like, why are you doing this? And then he said the bloodbath thing, which I didn't actually. Well, when I heard it, I thought, oh, gosh, the media is going to, because I know the media. They're stupid. They're stupid people. They're half of them are stupid and half of them are malicious and they use the dumb ones. That's I think that's a fair assessment, right? Yeah, that's a fair assessment. So he's giving this speech and he's talking about specifically automobile manufacturing, the EV automobile, like let's even get further in the weeds, EV manufacturing and China's monopoly over EVs. And he was discussing tariffs and all of this other stuff about how, you know, we really have to make sure that the United States is on the most advantageous playing field because all of these other countries do all of the, they do the same thing with their industries. And so he said this, I know exactly what he was saying, but I also know how stupid the media is because they've done it to me six ways to Sunday for over a decade now. And I knew immediately, I was like, they're going to say that he's calling to kill people. Here's his comment. Do you have this ready to go? This is what he said. This is what he actually said. Listen, and this, again, context of automobile manufacturing.
Unbelievable when I see it going. But I got to know all these people. They're very smart, very streetwise. And I would do the same thing. If I had prisons that were teeming with MS-13 and all sorts of people that they've got to take care of for the next 50 years, right?
We need the one where he's talking about the specifically. Is it the end of this? Okay, because this is such a long cut. Way too long. All right, let's if we can speed it up.
And these are tougher than anybody we've got in the country. These are hardened
criminals.
Okay,
let's cut. Let's get it off this. Get it off the screen. We're going to get that ready for you to where it's at, so where we can play it and you can actually see and you don't have to watch 5 minutes of speech. But or if you can just pull it off the internet, that would be great. His remark was specifically what would happen if he didn't win re-election. What's going to happen to the economy? That's kind of easy to say. If Republicans don't keep control, the power of the purse, if they don't keep control of the economic policy of the United States, and that's what Republican control in the House gets you, if they don't keep control of that, yeah, it's going to be a bloodbath economically. How stupid do the media think everybody is? He has to, well, economically speaking, but he's talking about economics. It's in the entire context of economics. I had the media one time. This is how I knew immediately what they were going to do. When I was the token conservative, I was like one of the first conservatives alongside Ari Fleischer that they had hired over at CNN. And I had said, I made a joke on Twitter at the time about Barack Obama's State of the Union, because he went out there and he was talking about how Department of Defense was going to be involved in green energy. And they had wasn't talking about defense. He was talking about green energy. And then he was mentioning how NASA was going to be about Muslim outreach. And I made a joke. I had like a series of tweets and I had said that now all of these departments are going to be named something completely opposite of what, or not even remotely involved with what they are actually named after. And I said, are we going to create a Department of Space or a Department of Muslim Outreach and make that about space? And then you had Media Matters say CNN's Dana Loesch, colon. And they quoted me, and I kept it as my desktop screensaver. They quoted me as saying, let's shoot Muslims into space. I got a call from Standards and Practices all over a lie from Media Matters. And then the media went crazy with it. Dana Loesch wants to shoot Muslims into space. When I made a joke about how if NASA is going to be about Muslim outreach, are we going to have a Department of Muslim Outreach to be about space exploration? So this is, I know the media. They've done this to me even before Parkland. They've done it to me forever. They've done it to every other person who doesn't have a D after their name. If you are in commentary, if you're in broadcasting, if you just breathe, you don't even have to be in those things. Then they come after you and they will misrepresent what you said. So here's his comment. And again, he's talking about specifically the economics of losing in November. This was the very basic remark that he said. Listen.
All the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it.
And then he talks about what that means for manufacturing and what that means for American exports. And so when you hear that, Kane, let me ask you, when you heard that, without any other media influence, you knew exactly what he was talking about, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I went with exactly where you went. And I'm like, oh, they're going to take this out of context intentionally. It's the weekend, because we knew exactly what they're going to do on the weekend.
Yeah, we knew. We knew that. I mean, this is what they do. This is exactly what they do. We knew what this was going to. So, if I could, I'm looking at this because his remark, however much you hate the media, it's not enough. It's not enough. It really isn't. It really is not. I don't care if you like or dislike Trump. Set that aside for a moment. I am so damn tired of the media doing this to Republicans and conservatives and libertarians and people who don't worship at the altar of the DNC. I am so tired of the misrepresentation. I have screenshots of headline after headline after headline after headline. Bloodbath, 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 bloodbath. Donald Trump's calling. Civil war trended on Twitter over the weekend because the left was insisting that Trump was calling for a civil war and for the shedding of blood, innocent blood in the streets. And as Kane reminds me, the same people who were fine with what's that lady's face? She looks like the female Carrot Top. I can never remember her name.
Kathy Carrot Top?
It's
Kathy
Carrot Griffin. Top. It's Kathy trans Carrot Top.
It is.
What's her face?
Kathy Griffin.
Okay. Trans Carrot Top. When she held a severed head, purported to be Donald Trump's head, remembered she did it as a quote-unquote joke, the left was fine with it. They're like, oh, my free speech, but this? He didn't even say that. I mean, he said things, if you want to pick it apart, fine, whatever. This is, he wasn't even talking about this. It will be an economic bloodbath. It will be an absolute economic bloodbath to lose the House, to lose in 2024, to not affect tax policy, whether it's at the executive level, the congressional level, bad. Can you play, by the way, the bloodbath compilation? Can I have that? Can you just inject that as soon as you put it in there? Juan's dying right now. I need it injected into my veins. I just want to give you, this is, again, a double standard. Am I to assume that what we're about to play for you, courtesy of Seth Abrams, or courtesy, actually, of, what is this? Grabian.
I don't know if this is a Grabian cut or not. It doesn't say, but I
don't care.
I don't know
who put it together.
But these aren't old clips.
They're recent. Am I to assume that all these people are calling for a civil war? All these people on the left. Let's watch. And with the same measure that they applied to the remark that we heard Trump make about the economic bloodbath, let's apply it to this. Listen.
Politico.com reports tonight on the, quote, bloodbath at the RNC.
Headlines calling it a, quote, bloodbath.
Yeah, bloodbath. Not only is it going to be a bloodbath, but after they leave New Hampshire, it's a bloodbath on her home turf. That's really tough.
And Trump has left a lot of corpses in his wake. I mean, count the bodies.
As part of the, quote, MAGA drive to take over Maricopa County. And the headline refers to it as an impending bloodbath.
Columnist Charles Blow has a new piece for the New York Times entitled A Biden Bloodbath.
2018 midterms, you can bet that they 100% are fearing a slaughter. In fact, the word bloodbath and massacre come up frequently.
The Republican Party will be destroyed. It's going to be a bloodbath.
There's going to be a bloodbath one way or the other.
Bloodbath for Bernie Sanders.
It's been a bloodbath. They're shaping up to be a bloodbath.
Head off a bloodbath.
How long does this clip go?
It goes over 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Over 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Over 2 minutes, this clip. All these people, bloodbath. It's a slaughter. I mean, golly, it's a slaughter.
Just for
the corpses left in his wake.
And just for perspective, recent. These are all recent cuts. If we were to go back into the annals of history on news, that word has been used millions and millions of times. It'd be a much longer than 2 minute clip.
Mm-hmm. So we have, as you can imagine, a lot to break down today. We're going to get into the latest with 2024. We have more on Bloodbath Gate, because we just affix gate after random things. We've got Calendar Gate. What does that mean? As stupid as you think it is. We got some culture. We've got a lot of stuff to hit just to get started with today's program. So you don't want to miss a single bit of it. We're also going to touch. We got Florida, we got immigration. We got people getting taxpayer funded food in Gaza and they're mad about it. They're reviewing the quality of the food they're receiving. I just think that maybe you're not too bad off if you have the time to review food. Our partners that help bring you free radio. Our friends at Gold Co. Precious Metals. The gold IRA field can seem kind of confusing. And so finding a precious metals company that you can trust isn't an easy feat. Turn to Gold Co. They will help you navigate it. They have very thorough information. They offer a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers that explains how the economy and gold IRAs work. They want to make it easy for you to not just get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver, but understand how it's an important part of your overall retirement and savings strategy. They have a zero complaint record, first rate service with unmatched customer service. Add gold and silver as a hedge against inflation and protect your family with GoldCo. They're all about transparency and honesty. No pressure. Ask about their highest buyback guarantee and learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver. It's their free 2024 gold kit from GoldCo. Protect your family's financial future and freedom. Get started today at DanaLikesGold.com and get that free gold kit from GoldCo and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Where have all the Friday jobs reports gone? The White House used to gloat about their incredible job numbers. The latest report was off by 40%. They are lying to you. What's the real truth about the jobs reports? It's all fake.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, the act of camping is banned at California Central Coast Beach due to an excess of human waste. So it's not just like, the homeless people that they have a problem with. This is horrible. It's in the Big Sur area, the beautiful area. Visitors won't clean up after themselves. The California Coastal Commission announced that all the hippies camping and the campfires, all that stuff is going to be banned at San Carpoforo. I didn't say that right, and I don't care because I just don't care about camping. If you like camping, that's great. I don't like pretending to be homeless. We invented the house. It's located right off the highway. And they said that the beach known as San Carpo is the only free beach campsite in the Big Sur area. But nobody can clean up after themselves, so there's trash and all kinds of stuff everywhere. And now they got to close it because nobody... it's California. They like recycle and virtue signal about their love of recycling. Marriage rates are up, divorce rates are down, according to new data. This is good news. They said the number of marriages began to take a dive around the start of the pandemic, but for the past two decades, the number of marriages stayed about to 1,000 people a year, according to new data released at the National Center for Health Statistics. They said in 2020, the marriage rate was down to 5.1 per 1,000, but it started to climb by the next year, and by 2022, it reached 6.2 per capita and over 2 million a year. They said it might just be more than just rescheduling. Lockdowns, gay people, hurdles to over, I don't care. The divorce rates are going down and that's happy. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. And they said also intentionality is behind. They think that might be behind declining divorce rates. So that's good. Good for America. The U.S. Supreme Court has declined to intervene in a lawsuit over West Texas A&M drag shows, meaning that the president can cancel it. The president, Walter Wendler. According to the Texas Tribune, we got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Back in just a moment. Partners that help bring you free radio. It's our friends over at American Financing. Stop putting stuff on your credit card. Stop it. I get it that things are super expensive. Believe me, I get it. And by the time you fill up your car and buy groceries, I mean, you have nothing left. I understand that. But that doesn't mean that you need to add your credit card debt, particularly when credit card rates are so high. The interest rates are so high. You don't want to get trapped in that. If you're a homeowner, American Financing can help you. Interest rates have dropped into the 5% range. So the process with American Financing, they're salary-based, by the way. So they don't get commissions on shoving people into stuff that doesn't work for them. The process at American Financing starts with a free mortgage review. You could start today. You might even be able to delay two mortgage payments and close in as fast as 10 days. They're saving their customers about $850 a month. So it's like a $10,000 a year raise without the extra hours. And they can offer every type of loan in the industry as well. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. And they have evening and weekend hours as well. They can meet your schedule. They understand that you work and you got to take care of your family. No pressure. Call 866-574-2500. That's 866-574-2500. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net and get started today.
NMLS 182334. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. APR for rates in the five start at 6.6% for well-qualified borrowers. Call 866-574-2500 for details about credit costs and terms.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
When Trump talks about poisoning the blood of America, and he's talking about migrants, when he refers to them as animals, and he's talking about migrants, when he's referring to them as not people, as invaders, let me tell you, people who hate folks like that, they're not going to stop and ask you if you have a U.S. citizenship or a U.S. passport. They're going to shoot first and then ask questions.
Okay, first off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, bottom of this first hour. Kane, go ahead and set the tone right now. On a scale of 1 to 10, how mean do you want me to be right now?
Mean? 9.5.
Seems kind of tame.
You think?
Yeah, Steve, you get a vote.
I know what your 9.5 is. You think that's tame? All right.
I mean, some things just deserve, you know. Kane,
go 10,
sorry,
Dana.
Steve, scale 1 to 10. Kane votes 9.5.
See, Steve knows too.
That is so. What did I do wrong with you boys? What did I do? What did I do? I mean, I tell you what, you gents, what did I do wrong?
You gotta leave room for improvement.
I mean, there's all the numbers above 10. It's just not, you know, on the scale is all I'm saying.
To 11.
So you want a 2. Okay. Let's put it like this. So first off, that was what's her face? The chick that's on The View that used to be Republican. Until she realized that no one cared about any of her opinions, and she couldn't get any traction at all whatsoever. And then she got a guest gig on The View, and then she lobbied extensively to get hired full time there. And then she married this guy who used to run CPAC, and then she realized how celebrity adjacent, you know, she formalized that union, all this would be. And so she's been just like, her Instagram is, I haven't seen it. I just saw an article in Daily Mail one day I hate Daily Mail. But it's all name dropping and trying to basically inflate the sense of self-importance or importance in general way more than it actually is. The only people that care, I think, about The View's opinions are, I don't, I just like making fun of them, are the people who give them on The View. I can't imagine any woman turning it on in the afternoon and being like, okay, I'm going to watch this. This is the show I'm going to have on now. I mean, I don't even, I don't understand. Maybe like back in the days of yore, I could get the idea, but I don't understand the concept anymore. For her to go out and say, oh, well, they're just going to start shooting people. Based on what? I mean, when you say stuff and you're volunteering an opinion on a national stage, you know, you kind of need to make sure that it's A, educated, and B, it makes sense. And C, maybe give a little bit of data to perhaps support your accusation. Because the only people that I keep getting, that I keep seeing getting killed over and over again are young adults involved in gang and drug crime, and Christian kids by trans activists. Those are the people that I keep seeing, you know, the people that the left doesn't care about the most. That's who I keep seen getting killed. So I don't know. I don't understand, you know, what her whole point with this. They're talking about the bloodbath remark. And the idea that because he said there's going to be an economic bloodbath, they're really stretching with this. There might be some people who buy into it. This is why I say, as much as you dislike the media, you don't hate them enough. I have hated the media proudly for almost 20 years now, professionally. I did it as a hobby, and do what you love, right? Just absolutely cannot stand the media. Cannot stand them. I actually got started in editorial writing by creating an anonymous website that just absolutely criticized and destroyed and ridiculed all the editorial writers in arts and entertainment in my hometown of St. Louis. And interestingly enough, I ran it out of a basement of an abandoned building on Washington Avenue. I have stories. Those are the days. But anyway, I digress. The point of this is they're trying to convince low-info voters that Trump is talking about killing everyone if he doesn't get reelected. And then you have this from what's-her-face, this other chick. Yeah, whatever. Audio Sunbite 7. This chick. Good. Sorry, 17. I saw a 7 and I just went with it. 17,000, please.
One character says to another, you know, we took all the things that the Jews had. We took their homes, we took their jewelry, we took all of those things. And now the next step is to dehumanize them, mm-hmm. to make sure that they to show people that they have no soul, that they are not human. And he is using that kind of World War II rhetoric that led to the deaths of the murders of 6 million people. Mm-hmm. And now he is otherizing brown people. He is otherizing black people. He is saying things like this: I don't think you're going to have another election if I don't win, or certainly not an election that's meaningful.
What do you think saying that, well, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black? What if you want to talk about otherizing people? Because that's what Joe Biden said. Joe Biden said that. That was a comment that Joe Biden said. If you don't vote for me, you ain't black. That was a comment that he actually had made. So is that otherizing too? I would just think if you're going to have a conversation about what is or isn't otherizing, then that would be a big one. This is all because he had said there's going to be a bloodbath and he was talking about the economics of it. I'm so tired of this stuff. I'm so tired of these people making up stuff and looking for axes to grind. But you know what? It's not just limited to the left. Sadly, it happens on the right. It's time to address this because I had to look at it Sunday on St. Paddy's Day, of all things. I have some Irish ancestry, so I come by it honest. 4 months ago, I did the calendar with ultra-right beer. And make sure you use code Dana. You'll get a big discount. I put the link up on Instagram. So I did this calendar with ultra-right beer. And I always, look, I am in shape. I'm healthy. But at the same time, I also have, sons. I have kids and I have a husband. And so I'm like, if other women who are, I think, single and not yet married, if they want to get in swimsuits and they want to do a calendar that celebrates women, that's fine. I'm going to hold my guns and I'm going to be in a t-shirt and jeans. And that was my particular choice. And I had no problem appearing in a calendar with other women who were celebrating femaledom. And it's all pretty women in the calendar. And it was done to help the Riley Gaines Center, and the ultra-right beer people did it. And it's a nice calendar. And I actually signed one for someone over the weekend. I've signed people, someone sent it in, and I signed it, and it's going, I think all the women in the calendar are signing it. And this thing came out, 4 or 5 months ago? This calendar came out? And people have been mad about it. And by people, I mean, I've only seen one person ever complain about it. And I don't want to get into, I'm not going to get into a battle with people and all of this stuff, particularly when you wouldn't want to battle with me. I still hold a grudge for having to have been called into HR by a previous employer for trying to settle a dispute that someone who likes to complain a lot caused with all of the other women at the workplace. And this is why I hate dealing with women in the workplace. And I was begged, please mediate this situation. Please, for the love, calm it down. I just think that there are some people who always, I cannot stand people who'd make a career out of bitching about everything all the time. That's not commentary. That's just complaining. That's just being a professional complainer. So this calendar, when it came out, 4 some odd months ago, I thought that it was tastefully done. There's not anything that's slutty in there. There's not anything that's, advocating for promiscuity or drug use or alcoholism or anything like that that's in this calendar. And it's a calendar that was done by people on the right. It was never done so that to be a church statement or a faith statement, a statement of faith. It was not. And I don't think anything, honestly, I don't have a problem. And I don't think anything cancels out one or the other. If you have a problem with women in swimsuits, don't ever let me see you in one. Don't ever let me see you going to a place where women are in swimsuits. If you want to be Sharia adjacent and you want to try to shame women because they were asked to be in a calendar and you weren't, that's your problem, not theirs. And that's ultimately what this is. The New York Times and Daily Mail ran this huge story over the weekend saying that it was raunchy. They attacked yours truly and all the other women in the calendar based on the complaints of it's like one person. And I always do find it ironic, the people who complain about other women while taking selfies of themselves because they think they look good and they want other people to acknowledge that they look good in their selfie, and so they post it far and wide. If you want to have a discussion about irony and compromising one's beliefs. And I think that also insinuating that women who participated in the calendar are somewhat loose, or they're raunchy, or they are in some way betraying their faith. If you want to be a modern day Pharisee, go right ahead. But I don't think that your accusations or the motivations are in any way based in any kind of, they're not biblically based. And I also think that it's not the Matthew way of solving disputes. That being said, I think it's all stupid. I think it's petty. I think it's just people who were mad that they weren't asked to be in a calendar and they're attacking women who were. And that's usually what this stuff boils down to. There's enough clout out there for everyone without other women trying to tear down other women. I don't get along with a lot of women because of that. There are a few women in this industry, particularly, and I can name them right now that I like, and I think that they understand that there is not there's not a quota on influence or space at the table, or There's you don't have to compete to be heard like that. And there are one of them, my friend Carol Roth and I were talking about this over the weekend. Carol Roth is absolutely one of the women who gets it. Love Carol Roth. Megyn Kelly is one of the women who gets it. Mary Catherine Hamm is one of the women who gets it. Like her or hate her, Meghan McCain is one of the women who gets it. There are some really good ladies out there. Judge Jeanine is one of the women who gets it. There's some really, really good ladies out there who understand that there is not some sort of scarcity of attention or clout, and they don't have to tear down other women in order to lift themselves up. It's a tactic that feminists use. They think that they tear down men to lift themselves up, which is why it's incredibly ironic to see anybody who's in the conservative sphere do that. There's nothing wrong with this calendar. And my husband was the one who actually said, yeah, I think you should do this. This seems like it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea. I don't have anything to be concerned about. My husband doesn't have anything to be concerned about. And these ladies, some of the ladies are married, some of them aren't. Some of them are single, some of them aren't. Some of them have kids, some of them don't. There's nothing wrong with a woman being in a swimsuit. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a calendar celebrating femaledom. I don't know if you've seen some of these articles, but they're trying to now divide the right and say, what was one of them? The New York Times said that it was raunchy, like the raunchy right or something like that. They've been calling me all kinds of names for firearms forever. If I wear a T-shirt, I get attacked. If I wear jeans, I get attacked. When I cut my hair, I was accused of having extensions. I've been accused of having a boob job, plastic surgery, hair extensions, cane, name it.
Lip filler.
Everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been accused of having my face frozen, which wigs. Is weird because I can move it. Huh?
Wigs.
No one's ever accused me of actually having a wig.
I've seen that.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah.
That's a new one. Yeah. I've been accused of all these things that I've never done. And I'm like, whatever. I'm so tired of this. And it's mostly from like the jealous, petty left. But to see it come up from the right is really disappointing. But the New York Times, they were saying the raunchy right. What was it? The Daily Mail was trying to say that the right was having a problem with these women, et cetera, et cetera. Again, it's a created clout chasing tantrum that the media is seizing upon and trying to make into a bigger thing than it's into something that it's not. 4 months after the fact. And it was a jealous, petty leftist lady over at the New York Times who wrote the piece. She never reached out to any of us. She didn't reach out to any of us and ask us a question. She didn't ask us if we would like to submit a comment on her hit piece on us, on our characters. And I got to tell you, and this is where I'm really going to get snotty. It is very difficult for me, a woman who's older, to take criticism about how I or other ladies live my life when they haven't raised children as successfully as I have, and they don't have a 23-year going on 24-year successful marriage like I do. So when you can match me in terms of my homemaking skills and my successful marriage skills and my mothering skills, then maybe I'll consider your opinion. But if you cannot match me year for year, have a million seats and seen. Have you seen any of those viral videos, the ones that show aisles stacked with emergency food supplies in stores? It kind of makes you wonder, like, what do they know that you don't? Well, you already know how I feel about being prepared myself. So why bother with the hassle of stores, which you know just mark up all their prices when you can order directly and save? With Wise Food Storage, you're guaranteed access to delicious, high-quality food exactly when you need it the most. Visit wisefoodstorage.com and enter code DANA in the search bar to unlock exclusive deals just for you, like their current offer, the buy one, get one free on their 72-hour survival food kit. Not only that, but Wise Food Storage offers fast and free shipping on most orders. With their remarkable 25-year shelf life, these provisions will be ready for you whenever the need should arise. So instead of endlessly doom-scrolling through all the videos, wondering what catastrophe could be next, take action and secure your food supply today at wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dana in the search bar for exclusive deals. That's wisefoodstorage.com and use code Dana.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I was very happy to see Northern Ireland's Executive Assembly reinstated last month. Now Northern Ireland is a fully functioning government again, and I didn't envision your colleague.
So Kane was asking me to interpret what he said. And I'm like, I don't, dude, I don't speak Martian. I have no clue what he says, what he said here. I don't know. What? Can I hear it one more time? Is he, I mean, it was St. Patty's Day yesterday.
Yeah,
maybe he's
Patty's
like,
Day. I think, yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was very happy to see Northern Ireland's Executive Assembly reinstated last month. Now Northern Ireland is a fully functioning government again. And I didn't invite your colleague.
Is he speaking like Gaelic? No.
No.
Gobbledygook and Gaelic. Both start with G, but they're not the same. Doesn't sound like he's speaking any kind of Celtic language.
I got Northern Ireland out of that, but that's all I got.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean, you know, that...
Fully functioning company. Does he mean country?
North is a fully functioning company again. I dig na big shot colleague.
Colleague.
I don't know.
Yeah, this is our president.
Well, he was. I don't know. I don't know what that is. I can't make that make sense for you guys. I'm sorry. That's my job, and I can't make that make sense for you. What? What do you think that the people in the audience do? You never see their faces when he does this stuff. I am so expressive. That's why you can't. Whenever we get screen grabs of my face for YouTube stuff, I know I annoy the hell out of everybody because I'm very expressive. I would not be able to hide my expression. Right. I couldn't. And you know he sees that. Right. So he, especially when you're in front of, you know, people that aren't your like-minded, super friendly American left, if you're overseas or if you're talking to people who are from other countries, they may not be as ingratiated, you know, as your base. I don't know. I'm just like, what does he think when he sees the confusion and amusement on their faces? I'm just curious about this. We have a whole other hour on the way. We got Gamergate 2.0, the EV wars, immigration, a lot more. Stick with us. Our partners that help bring you free radio. It's our friends over at Black Rifle Coffee. This is a veteran-owned coffee company. And they make the best coffee out there. And veteran-owned, veteran-operated, and they employ active duty and retired veterans. I have Black Rifle Coffee every morning. It's delicious coffee. The Tactisquatch is my jam right now. And it's just good coffee. I think a lot of people have a problem with successful veteran businesses. And they're usually on the left, and they try to psyop the right about it. Because Black Rifle Coffee poses such a threat to Starbucks and all these other, you know, bad companies out there that don't make as good a coffee. So be aware of that. A lot of people are being baited into being these like leftist tools for them to go after veteran-owned companies because unfortunately, not a lot of people like veterans anymore, apparently. But Black Rifle Coffee Company, the best coffee that is out there. I proudly drink it every damn day. And it's delivered right to your door. No shipping fees. When you join the coffee club, pick your roast. Pick how often you want it delivered, whether you want the AK-47, the Tactisquatch, the Silencer Smooth Thin Blue Line, that's the medium roast that supports law enforcement, the Freedom Fuel Dark Roast. Set your delivery schedule and you are done. You're going to save money on coffee while never running out. It's delivered right to your door free from shipping fees. So visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and join that Black Rifle Coffee Club today. Get 30% off your first month using code Dana. Save money on high quality coffee, actually roasted, not just claimed, but actually roasted right here in America. It's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
This is exactly who Donald Trump is. We saw him call on his supporters to storm the Capitol 4 years ago, and he's doubling down, promoting violence this time around. And this is just right out of the playbook. Trump is weak and deeply insecure about this election, and he's only in it for himself. Our campaign has been saying this for months, and Trump is saying the quiet part out loud. And the people who are saying that his comments were taken out of context haven't said anything about all the other things that Trump has done.
So that's one of Biden's mouthpieces. You know, because Biden's in the race for everyone else, not to enrich his family or for his own personal, you know, his own personal advantage. He's in it for all of you, I'm sure. Yeah. Okay. That's Quentin Folks, who is, I don't know who he is. He's some guy with Biden's campaign. They're trying to push this bloodbath thing. And I listened to the remark, and it's dumb that people are making a big deal out of it, because it's literally, you have to be remedial as all get out in order to be Amelia Bedelia about this. But it's our Amelia Bedelia Press. You guys remember, well, first off, welcome back. Top of the second hour. Dana Lash with you. You can listen around the country. You can stream at Channel 347 DirecTV. So I was a kid in the 80s going into the 90s, and I remember, some of you may not, like Steve and Juan will have no idea about this, Amelia Bedelia. It was a series of books that, it was really in elementary school, I remember, that our teacher would read to us. And Amelia Bedelia was like this character who would take her employer's instructions literally, like figures of speech she interpreted literally. And each story was about that. And she would get herself into tons of trouble because she would interpret things very literally. And that's what our press is doing right now. We played for you at the top of last hour a compilation. It was over 2 minutes of the media saying bloodbath, 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 slaughter, all this other stuff, talking about elections or this policy or that policy, etc. And, you know, they thought that was fine. But Trump is talking about it. And we played his full speech. Well, not his full speech, the full remark. He was talking about the economy and manufacturing and what happens if Republicans lose in 2024. It will be an economic bloodbath. And he didn't even qualify it with the term economic because he didn't have to. Anybody that has, I don't care if you like him or hate him, don't debase yourself and act like a moron by pretending that you think he was talking about murdering people. Everybody out there who's saying that he's talking about a civil war and killing people because he said bloodbath, when he's having making a huge giant remark about EV manufacturing, trade with China, the economic consequences of a Republican loss in November. And you have, again, these people out here debasing themselves, acting as though they're too damn stupid to understand what he actually meant. So they're going to interpret it Amelia Bedelia style, literally. We were talking about some of the other phrases that you probably can't say around them. Like, what did you say? The proof is in the pudding, Kane. You can't hide evidence in actual foodstuffs.
Right.
Who's literally hiding evidence?
Clearly
in pudding.
Right.
Hunter? I mean, what is that? Or that's the way the cookie crumbles. We're just going out there. Look at these Republicans going out there smashing desserts. They're smashing cookies. Or as the Brits would say, biscuits. That's what it is. Right. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. They're out there putting birds in bushes. Damned Republicans. I like, what was it that the Babylon Bee says? How the media reports that Trump threatened nuclear war after he says this guacamole is the bomb. It's true. It's true. It's true. Absolutely true. I don't think this is. And there's a reason why, if you notice, whenever they are talking about his remarks, or whenever you read an editorial, or even a news piece, same thing anymore, where they're discussing his remarks, they never actually include his remarks. They don't actually play them. They don't actually like put the transcript in. They don't do that. Because people with more than one brain cell to rub together will look at it and go, that's okay, that's not what he said. When people on the right do this stuff, people on the right call it out. Because we don't have time for dishonesty or deceptiveness. People on the left are like, oh, no, that's what he said. They can't police themselves. They never police themselves. They only do it if it's advantageous and they want the seat. That's it. For another Democrat. That's it. But this is dumb to sit here and make this out. I mean, it's trending still. We're calling it Bloodbathgate. So now we have Gaza. Everything's gay today. Now we got Gaza Gate. Did you guys see this video? Oh, boy. So this dude, who is an activist in Gaza, he is this like a, the best way that I can describe it is he's like reviewing the contents of what the air, and it wasn't just the United States. I don't think we should have had any part in it, but apparently Egypt and Jordan also dropped stuff over. They were doing airdrops to Gazans because Hamas, their terrorist elected government that said they were going to take care of the people and never did and still enjoy overwhelming popularity and were elected in 2005 and almost reelected again and almost took control of West Bank. they apparently can't provide this to Gazans themselves because, well, because they've been taking it all for themselves. So the airdrops, they were dropping like what, food and other supplies into Gaza. And this dude decides to review it. It's a review, right? It's a review of the contents of this. Listen to this. This is audio soundbite 14.
So as the airdrops have been dropped in the north, I've been able to buy this today from the northern part of Gaza. That's where most of the airdrop has been dropped. And it's from the Department of Defense, the United States of America. This is the airdrop they drop on us, this small, and then all the airstrikes that they also hit us with. So I wondered what's in it. It comes for free, but at the end we still have to buy it. Let's see what's in it. So starts with the top, crackers. And then applesauce. And then, oh, wow, gum. Wallah balhum fayq raji. What's this? This is like some, I don't know. We don't see these here. And energy bar. This is the most thing I'm excited to have. French vanilla. Wow. Cashews, so nuts, peanut butter, and so overall, it's one of the worst meals I've ever had.
Oh my gosh.
I literally ate a piece of everything because, you know, imagine I'm fasting all day, hungry, haven't eaten anything, and then I came to eat this. Nothing tastes good. Only the peanut butter tastes like our Canadian peanut butter. Everything else.
So he's Canadian.
This whole meal is like a 2 out of 10. Not even a 1 out of 10, actually. This is torturing us more than it's being ate.
I promise you, dude, it can't torture us, all of the rest of us, any more than your video can. I mean, I feel tortured by your video. I feel like I need to make an appeal to the people behind the Geneva Convention, even though I know it doesn't cover terrorism, but your video was terrorism. That's so stupid. I'm so sorry, Princess, that it wasn't, you know, the style of Ruth's Chris. Right. I was expecting a porterhouse steak, and, I was expecting a filet mignon, medium rare, with maybe some béarnaise, and I didn't get that in my MRE that was dropped for, what does he say he had to pay for it? He's not in Gaza. I guess he's in Canada right now. So he would have to have bought that. But if they're dropping it on the ground in Gaza, you could just pick it up unless you have to pay Hamas to get it. Do you know how that works? So if Hamas is collecting it and then charging you for it, that's your problem with Hamas. Notice how he doesn't actually qualify that or explore that beyond his initial comment. So he's reviewing the food. What did he think that there was going to be like a Gordon Ramsay was going to be up in the sky just cooking stuff to order and dropping it down? Maybe you should have thought about that before Gazans elected a terrorist organization as their representative government in 2006. Maybe you should have thought of that. Maybe you should have thought of that before you kept supporting them. And then they enjoyed overwhelming support to the point where they suspended elections because everyone was worried that they were going to take over the West Bank. Maybe you wouldn't be eating an energy bar. Wow, can you imagine complaining about that? Well, there are children in parts of the world that are actually starving to death and going hungry, and they don't have the luxury of having food, you know, high caloric food dropped off from the air for them to eat. Imagine being this guy wearing an expensive puffer coat and a New Balance hat and sitting there with your dumbass iPhone and recording how you are displeased with the free food provided to you by the government that the elected terrorist government doesn't like. Imagine being that privileged and out of touch. Or imagine doing this interview and not knowing, or doing this review and not knowing. Imagine doing it and not knowing what our men and women in uniform eat when they're overseas, when they're deployed. They eat MREs. That's what they eat that pretty routinely. He had French vanilla in that. You know how broke a lot of people in the United States are? They can't even afford French vanilla, and you're getting it for free in a taxpayer-funded food case?
And gum.
Yeah, you get gum? You know how expensive cashews are? You know how expensive nuts are? He's getting that? That's going in that food pouch? Good night. Now, he's all mad. He's mad because he was expecting, I don't know, I guess a four-star meal. He was expecting Michelin grade. War has consequences, and so do terrorists. But he says that that food was more torture than it was aid. Nothing could be, well, there are a few things, but it's not more torturous than having to watch that video. Really isn't. We have more on the way as we roll. It's the only Christian conservative cell phone service that's out there. They want to save you money. They also want to make sure that your dollars aren't working against you every time there is an election. And so this is exactly what Patriot Mobile does. You get great cell phone coverage, great coverage coast to coast. I actually get great coverage when I travel internationally. I've never had an issue with Patriot Mobile because they offer the best coverage on all three major networks. And when you switch, like I said, you're saving money. You get a plan tailored specifically for you, your family, your business, whatever your business needs. And you're working with all U.S.-based team and all U.S.-based team, be it customer service, et cetera. So you're helping to create and maintain U.S.-based jobs. But your money isn't working against you at the ballot box. Free activation using code Dana. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So AMC clinches a deal with NBC to show live Olympics coverage in theaters. Boy, I'm so excited about that, aren't you? Listen to the joy and excitement in my voice. Are you excited about that, Kane? You want to go into a theater and watch the Olympics in the theater?
Yeah.
With all the commercials in the theater?
With the big popcorns and the big sodas?
You can do that at home.
The big popcorns?
I'm the mom who's like, we got that at home.
Yeah. Theater popcorns?
You can make theater popcorn at home.
Yeah.
You have to do it old school, but you can do it.
Kettle corn? You ever do that at home?
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
They said that they're very excited about it. NBC Universal, they're going to present it as a live ticketed event. So you could watch it for free at home, or you could pay to go and watch it in a theater with all the commercials. Gee, that sounds fun. Nobody said nobody ever. What is this? Wall Street Journal. Kane sent this, and I hate him for it now. The headline, What if a toe spacer were enough to boost your fitness? Sidebar, you know we got feet enthusiasts out there who watch. I'm not even kidding you. I never put pictures of anything below ankle. I swear to you, because there have been some weird things that have happened. They're going to seize on this conversation now. These goofy things that apparently you put on your feet to space your toes out, they said are becoming a trendy tool for elite athletes. Says who? Why does the person's feet look like they're hefty? I'm curious. They're toe spacers. Anything to sell something. Anything to make a buck. That's so nasty. A shopper was banned from Buc-ee's because he brought his service duck into the Tennessee store. I thought this was America. His service duck. Wrinkle the duck. Its name's Wrinkle. It was in a stroller. The duck was in a stroller. His service pet, Wrinkle the Duck, was brought into a Buc-ee's, and Wrinkle was inside the stroller for most of the visit. He would come out to high-five interested onlookers. Oh, sorry, her, with her bink. You should have named her Wrinklet or something. I don't know. It has its own YouTube thing, 2.7 million subscribers. And an employee said that service dogs were the only animals allowed. Wood said, well, she's a service duck. And they said, pets are not allowed. And he goes, well, she's a service animal. And then he was asked to prove it. I don't know how you prove that. But yeah. And so the employee said, if he put the duck on a leash, it would be okay. And he put Wrinkle on an imaginary leash, and the duck followed him all around the store. The duck was in the stroller, though. I actually have no problem with the duck. I think this is just all something over. And now I want one. Let's see here. Oh, let's go to, where's the, okay. There is a correct way of hanging the toilet paper roll, and the toilet paper is supposed to go over. How do I know this? Because they actually have the patent for this whole setup, it came out. It was published on the internet several years ago, showing that the toilet paper front facing is the correct way. Behind it is not the correct way. So I've always been on team toilet paper in the front. That's it. That's how it's done. So that is the exact correct way. So now there's a story out saying, yes, this is the way, correct way to do it. And again, it was the you could see the actual patent, and the patent shows how it's supposed to be. It's not even a debate. Not a debate. Oh, guess what, guys? Putin won, quote unquote, re-election. It's easy to win re-election.
Was it close?
When you like kill everybody.
Was it close?
Yeah, it was like he ended up getting almost 90% of the vote. Oh, wow. Man. Real close one there, huh? Real tough election. Yeah, they said, yeah, he got over, well, it was almost 88% of the vote.
Nail biter.
Yeah, such a nail biter. This is his fifth term. He was elected first to all about 20 years ago in late 1999. He is going to be Russia's longest serving leader since Catherine the Great. He served even longer than Stalin. Now, there's a tagline for you. Stay with us because we've got Gamergate, EV Wars, and so much more. This is why courses like the free one that they're offering right now at Hillsdale, and they have a bunch of free resources, by the way. They have some really awesome different free online courses. They have their Constitution minutes, which are 60-second, like Schoolhouse Rock kind of stuff about the founding of our country. But historian Victor Davis Hanson right now, the latest online course, he's leading it. It's called American Citizenship and Its Decline. And it doesn't just talk about citizenship as it's determined today by open borders, but it looks into how identity politics and the administrative state really undermine the value that people place in it. It's a deeper insight into the connection between citizenship and freedom. And this is, all these free online resources are a very important component of Hillsdale's mission to reach and teach millions of people on behalf of liberty and the American way of life. They were founded in 1844, a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan, and this is their purpose. They value merit and character, nothing else. You can sign up for today for their free online course over at Hillsdale. It's called American Citizenship and Its Decline, and by visiting Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've gathered today, however, to address specifically the injustices that we have seen in federal marijuana policy. I have said many times, I think we all at this table believe nobody should have to go to jail for smoking weed. And what we need to do is recognize that far too many people have been sent to jail for simple marijuana possession.
How many people did she send to jail for pot?
All of them.
That's the Vice President Kamala Harris. They're trying to make a play for, pot smokers and I guess libertarians and all of this. She teamed up with Fat Joe to talk about marijuana reform. Welcome back to the program, Dana. Dana Loesch here with you. Good to be back with you. Bottom of this second hour. She's got a weird history with it, though. I mean, when she was the top cop in California, remember, she was the AG. And when she was the prosecutor, like the head prosecutor, she sent, let's see, this is Mercury News. She oversaw more than 1,900 pot convictions in San Francisco. It all had to do with marijuana. It was higher than all of her predecessors. She actually prosecuted tons of marijuana cases when she was in California. So to hear her do this now seems slightly ever so disingenuous. I mean, that's been her, this is her entire history. This is her history. They said that it was a lot of low level for like pot possession. Her defenders tried to say, oh, well, there were only, you know, a few people who were actually sent to state prison for marijuana convictions. It was only a few, but that's not the point. She prosecuted a ton of them. And she fought a ballot measure in 2010 that legalized recreational pot. I don't smoke pot. I'm not like a, what you would call a pot person. My whole point with this is she is, was literally the most hardcore regulator and enforcer of marijuana, criminalization of marijuana, than anybody, even Republican. She outmeasured Republicans. So that's why this is so weird to see this now. They said that she had wide latitude. She could decide which marijuana cases to prosecute and what sentences to seek. And she criticized her predecessor over his office's low conviction rate. She said she was going to run a tighter ship. And even though she focused her rhetoric on violent crime, she went after marijuana misdemeanor and felony convictions. Actually, it was 1,000. It was approximately 1,956 misdemeanor and felony convictions for marijuana possession, cultivation, and or sale within a 7-year period. And that's according to publicly available data from the California DA's office. And they said that there were a lot more arrests in, it wasn't just that there were more convictions, there were a ton more arrests as well. Even if not everybody who was convicted of arrested was, they didn't make it to court. They said that, let's see. I mean, she had, golly, this went over 7 years. This was crazy, the amount of people that she sent. So now she wants to borrow, I guess, credibility from Fat Joe and be like, okay, well, you know, I don't really mean it. We're going to ignore this. We're going to talk about she now calls it regressive policies. That's how she describes it. She never acknowledges her part in it. She just says that there are existing regressive policies over it. This is all, as Kane says, intentional. Now, I don't think this is just with the black community, Kane. I do think that they're trying to make very obvious, like almost racial plays, I think, to the black community with the stuff that they're doing in Michigan and some of this other stuff. But aren't they also banning menthols? Isn't this administration behind banning menthols?
Yeah, I did hear that. I haven't followed up on that story in a while.
What
I
demo, for whatever reason, I don't understand why. Like clove cigarettes are good with hippies. Menthols are apparently more popular with the black community than not.
Right.
I have no idea why. I don't understand the menthol thing. Are you trying to like freshen your breath while you smoke cigarettes?
I've heard it explained that it's stronger, just like a different type of beer, like malt liquor would be stronger than regular beer. They gravitate towards that. Just like the menthol cigarette apparently is a little stronger than the regular cigarette, and I think that's why they gravitate towards that. Hmm. I've heard that explanation.
This seems like this is a dumb play. They want to make, I guess, everything about abortion for women. They're going to look at pot for the black community. Baby killing for the female community. Pot for the black community. This is so bad. It's so bad. I don't think they're going to let her do any more interviews where they ask her what type of music she listens to, because that didn't go over so well the last time either. Speaking of like overregulation and with the whole thing with marijuana, I think it's crazy that there are people who have been, and I've given examples on this program before, we've talked about the stories, how you have offenses for more serious crimes that are far longer and more punitive that's how marijuana offenses are treated. But then, like, I don't know, assault, rape, other instances seem to get kind of a wrist slap and more recidivism with this. I don't know. It seems a little unbalanced, the approach, right? If you want to talk about regulation and restriction. But then again, at the same time, I'm uncomfortable with the government deciding what people can, even if I don't want any part of it and I wouldn't advise anybody to have part in it, I also wouldn't advise that the alternative be the government can tell you what you can and can't have. I mean, the government's been telling you that cigarettes are okay. They allow it to be sold because they say it's okay. The FDA is a cartel. As much as they run down the Mexican cartel and the mafia and everything else, my gosh, the FDA is the same damn thing. I want to switch gears and talk about Gamergate, because apparently they had a big dust. You guys know the original Gamergate? Basically, it was chicks who wanted to pose as gamers and wrote crappy games, were trying to, like, peddle influence and relations to get positive reviews in the press. That's pretty much how it went. I think it's an accurate representation, right? And I don't care what people think about if you play games or not. This is a subsection of American culture, or just cultural in general, that has been kind of wide open for a while. And I would caution Republicans to not disregard it. I played casually my entire life. I was playing Mortal Kombat right up until I gave birth to my first son. And I started with Duck Hunt. I played Doom. I used to be a PC player, and then consoles got real popular, and I have an Xbox now. And I play casually now. My kids have got me into certain things, and I enjoy it. It's fun. You know, everybody's got a hobby. Everybody's got, you know, it's a lot of fun. But I think that there is, I'm of two minds of it. I don't want the politicization of it, because I like the escape from it. But at the same time, I also think that Republicans shouldn't disregard it as a great way for voter outreach. And maybe speak in a more educated fashion when you're talking about games and the gaming community. Because there are some people who are on the right who act like video games are bad. Whenever I see people run down video games and say, oh, they're violent, they lead to violent things, you are literally using the exact gun control argument that the left uses. Just switch out the variable. And that's ultimately what it is. You're switching out variables. If you think that you know, gaming and gamers, I had said to somebody before that, you know, if I'm irresponsible with insert variable here, that means you must be banned from it, or variable must be heavily regulated. That doesn't make any sense. So to this point, I wanted to bring this up because this is now the administration, they are targeting gamers for what they say is spreading disinformation. This is one of several things. You have federal agencies now secretly collaborating with gaming companies to monitor and fight domestic extremism. They say there's a report by the GAO revealing undisclosed collaboration between FBI, DHS, and huge companies like Roblox, Discord, and Reddit. They add that the report warns of quote-unquote extremists using aesthetics, humor, and memes. Oh no, not the memes. It's censorship through gaming. And they have been deliberately targeting gaming sites for censorship to stop average everyday citizens from forming interpretations of the world that differ from mainstream sources. This is the United States government using our tax dollars to stop people from disagreeing with what they see in the media. Twitchy has a great collection of all these screenshots. They say, I mean, I'm looking at, it's page 37 on the disinformation primer. They say, quote, understanding alternative media spaces, which is how they classify gaming, because you have gaming lobbies and you can have chat during gaming and all of this stuff. They say discussions on disinformation and misinformation often revolve around assumptions of state actors driving the issue. However, problematic information more regularly originates from networks of alternative sites and anonymous individuals who have created their own alt media online spaces. And they get into Reddit, Discord, 4chan, and gaming sites. They say that the information on these sites, like conspiracy theories, might seem silly to outsiders, but to users, these spaces enable them to collaborate and validate their own claims and interpretations of the world that differ from mainstream sources. With this, individuals contribute their own research to the larger discussion, collectively reviewing and validating each other to create a populist expertise that justifies, shapes, and supports their alternative beliefs. That's what the media wants to happen on the left, and they get mad that there is a challenge from someone using the same tactics, either independently or on the right. And there's a lawsuit that America First Legal filed that unearthed this disinformation primer revealing all of this. So many people are on Discord. They all chat on Discord. They have discussions and they connect with friends on Discord. Just because it's a foreign concept to other people doesn't mean that it is a nefarious thing. This is a new generation. Technology has made hanging out with friends different from everyone throwing their bikes on the friend's front lawn and going inside and playing Nintendo. It is the new technological, more technologically advanced version of that, right? And that's all this is. And people are acting like they're a bunch of terrorists or extremists because they gather in these spaces and they discuss. So that, I mean, now they're essentially wanting to spy on people when they play video games. That's kind of like what this is. That's how they're promoting this. This is awful. I mean, this is, and they always act like, oh, it's a bunch of white guys. Not just white guys play games. I guess people don't realize this. I mean, I am a 40-something-year-old woman, and I play video games. I played games my entire life, casually. There are girls, women, men, boys, black, white, Asian, everything. Jewish gamers, Christian gamers, atheist gamers. It is like the one place where people can go. It's either gaming, anime, or, I mean, even K-dramas. God love them. K-dramas are so free of all of this stuff. Yay! There's hardly any space where people can go to get away from everybody's nonstop BS. I'm so tired of this stuff. And if that's not bad enough, now you have, what is it? One company that got hit because apparently they were, it was like some Gamergate 2.0 stuff. And they were trying to impugn the gaming community as a whole. They're trying to wokeify everything. They're trying to make everything, every gaming experience like damn Borderlands. If you've ever played Borderlands, it's so damn woke. It is unenjoyable and insufferable. I downloaded it. I even played the Tiny Tina's Adventure and I deleted it. The gameplay is amazing. The graphics are great. But I don't need a rainbow colored butt stallion unicorn and some sort of trans hero to walk me through gameplay. It's so annoying. Ken, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah. Leave gaming alone. Leave gamers alone. And stop talking about games and the people who play them using the left's gun control logic and words. End of. We have people to thank to help bring you free radio. And Kel-Tec is one of them. Florida company. The Sub 2K reads a Sub 2000. The Gen 3, the 9mm carbine, is out. It's shipping. And you can get your hands on one. And if you have the Gen 2, the Gen 3 is upgraded. Meaning you don't have to detach your optics to fold it in half because the whole thing folds in half. There's a simple twist and fold motion of the rotating fore-end, patent pending, in either direction, twists it, folds it in half, optics and all, and it just as quickly and easily deploys it. And there's a few other things that they have fine-tuned on this very reliable platform, just some simple upgrades like the upgraded aluminum trigger, light and 5-pound pull. You got more precise feedback. Isolated trigger pull translating into improved accuracy, upgraded action, new chamber indicator, all kinds of good stuff. And of course, made in the USA by the awesome family run business Kel-Tec. To learn more about the Sub 2K Gen 3, visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's KELTEC weapons.com and tell them Dana sent you.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, so I have a couple of things here, including this. Oh boy, there's several. So first up, this is a woman who flipped off a deputy and then yelled, "I hate the police," while driving erratically, which I'm sure made the police go, "We shouldn't pursue her. She's just an ordinary citizen living her best life. Let's leave her alone," right? That's how that usually goes. She flipped off this deputy and screamed, "I hate police." Darla Vidal, 35, was arrested on one felony count of resisting an officer and one misdemeanor count of resisting an officer, according to Monroe County Sheriff's Office. It was just like 2:30 on Saturday of this weekend. And the police saw her driving like a mad person. They said she was like driving a car on the grass, like cutting across like the grass in the middle of like the lanes and that. And speeding down Boulevard, she did not stop. She kept swerving away from the road onto the grass. And then when they tried to pull her over, she stuck her arm out the window and gave the middle finger and then screamed, "I hate the police." And she refused to stop. They finally, oh, she also told deputies to shoot her. Yeah. They did stop her, and they did take her into custody, as you can imagine. I mean, they're just not going to let you go. Okay, well, I guess we're going to leave you alone now. That's not how that works. A Florida man was arrested for making a bomb threat at a Page Field airport. Well, that never goes over well. This was on Thursday in Fort Myers. He was arrested. It was at the Page Field Airport in South Fort Myers. And according to Lee County Port Authority, he was driving a pickup truck, white Dodge pickup. He drove into the base operations around 7, made a verbal bomb threat, and then fled the scene. He went up to the clerk and said he wanted to make a noise complaint because he was mad that he said the aircraft was flying over his home and spraying chemicals. And he said he knew it was this airport because he was tracking the plane. And then he asked the clerks if they knew about the FBI building that blew up. And then he goes, if the plane doesn't stop flying over my house, you're going to be next. And then he got into his truck and drove away. So they followed up and they said he faces charges of making false reports concerning planting of explosive device, etc. So they took him into custody. Yeah, you can't do this. So, you know, you can like call and just register a complaint. You don't have to go there and tell them you're going to bomb the place. You know, third hour on the way. Stick with us.
When it comes to Alzheimer's, thank you.
Wow. What was she trying to say? She can't speak.
Endometriosis.
Si se puede. Yeah.
Bodega.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. And top of our third hour here, got a lot to hit. First off, we had the censorship, the free speech, the it's basically the Section 230 thing that's getting heard before SCOTUS. We're going to break that down. We have culture. We were talking about Gamergate 2.0 and how there's like two issues kind of simultaneously happening right now with the administration going after gaming and then the DEI garbage in gaming that's all coming to the surface again 10 years later. And then, of course, we've got some of the latest of 2024 as well. So this she just sounds like a nut when she speaks. So she was trying to say endometriosis and she couldn't say it. Why does this administration, everybody in it, have such a problem just like enunciating things, saying words? Why do you look like that? You look like you know.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I wish I knew. I thought you were like going to say something super smart, Alec Kane.
It's just I think it's the lowest vibrational people among us that are in charge.
Well, yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole, gosh, dang, I tell you, it's just so bad. I don't think that she's any better sending her out there instead of Joe, if I'm being honest. Now, earlier today, I was asking you guys to let me know how mean you wanted me to be today. And Steve said 2, and you said 9.5. I just want to let you know that everybody who's in the YouTube discussion said 11.
11.
So.
Spinal Tap.
And there's a lot more of them than there are of just you two. So you said 9.5. Steve said 2. There were a lot of people that said 11 earlier. Right. Yeah.
Which would cancel Steve's 2 out, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, closer to 10.
Yeah, with the amount of people that are in the discussion, and it's still probably at 11, the averaging. So I feel like, you know, out of duty, Kane, to the audience,
that's what we're all about.
We have to be at 11 talking about some of these issues. You know, it just makes sense to give the people what they want, right? To give them what they want. So with the EV stuff, let me pull this up. Biden's trying really hard not to lose Michigan. And now there's a war on cars. And this is so Atlas Shrugged, it's unreal. So they're targeting cars for nothing, just to target them. Like everybody's going to, they want to put more, you know, running on ethanol is actually more environmentally damaging than not. Interesting, right? But it's all about the optic, the narrative that counts. It's the internal combustion cars. But it's not just that. Like it feels like they're going after, in some instances, EVs also, because the regulations, I feel like they don't understand, much like firearms, they don't understand how automobiles work either. And so they wanted to get rid of internal combustion engines because of the environment, right? It makes more sense If we get all of our rare earth elements to run our EVs from China, who has no environmental protections or regulations, and if we just keep the pollution over there, it won't come over here. And look, we're greener because we're just taking any kind of pollution and we're not reducing it. We're actually, it's going to be worse. Yeah, it's going to be a lot worse. No worker protections either on top of it because it's China. And we're just going to ignore it because, see, it doesn't count if you ignore it, right? Doesn't count if you just say it. It's like they try to say that crime's gone down because they just stopped counting certain things as crimes and they stopped prosecuting certain crimes. So crime's gone down as a result. See, it's the same thing. So as you can imagine, people in Michigan and, you know, the Rust Belt, they haven't been taken too nicely to this. And it's actually hurting Biden and Democrats in the polls. And he has been working to finalize a major crackdown. Despite the warnings from automakers, they said, look, this is bad for consumers. It's bad for national security. It's bad for the economy. But the Biden administration is going full steam ahead anyway, because they want to make everything in the transportation sector electric. And so the EPA is slated to issue a final rulemaking. And they say it's going to incentivize a greater adoption of EVs. But it is a mandate. This is an edict. It's not going to reduce pollution. It's not going to be a gain for health. It is going to make automobiles more expensive. The United States is in fact already leading in terms of clean air. I mean, we started doing all of this even before the government began hinting that it wanted to make it a mandate. But he's in a catch-22 because he wants to appease, Democrats and Biden need to appease the greenies, but at the same time, they can't make the Rust Belt mad. So what do? Because the greenies want EV, all the things, and they want all of these fuel regulations and restrictions, and these are things that would ultimately further wound the Rust Belt. So this is what happens when you have policies that are identity politic and based on theory and actually debunked theory and speculation as opposed to actual science. And now he's in a bit of a pickle because the greenies could revolt and then you could have Rust Belt revolt and he needs the Rust Belt. So what are you going to do? I kind of get the sense that they want to push it all over the EPA and act like it's just the EPA is just a singularly separate entity and they have nothing to do with the Biden administration. He tried, guys. He tried. Just like with immigration, he can't do anything, you know. I mean, granted, he did all the executive orders undoing the previous executive orders, which is why you should not govern or administrate by executive order. But so the EPA back in January submitted these final regulations. They needed the White House to review them. The OMB, which is the Office of Management and Budget, they were meeting with industry officials, etc. The New York Times reported on it. They said, let me pull this up. Biden's doubling down on this. He's doubling down on this gas car crackdown. So the New York Times, they were looking at tailpipe emission standards. Remember, they were trying to delay some of this and push it off until after the election so that they could stave off a potential loss of Rust Belt voters ahead of this. That's what they were looking at doing because he needs every vote he can get right now. It doesn't look good. This is not helping him. I'm looking at some of the 2024 stuff. If you look at some of the polling for Democrats, is not looking too well. They're struggling. But please do not think it's going to stay like that simply because some of the polls are reflecting this now. They haven't even started. They haven't even begun actually spending their several hundred million dollar war chest. And that could change. That's what you have to be ready for and anticipate. And in the meantime, the Republicans aren't helping anybody. CNN reports, and I've read this a couple of places, so it's not just CNN, in different variations. House Speaker Mike Johnson is mad because Republicans are campaigning against each other in bitter primary battles. And if I'm being honest, the bitter primary battles come down to who endorsed Trump over DeSantis and who didn't. I don't know why this runs so deep. I just remember back in 2012, I loathed Mitt Romney. I literally still have a pair of flip-flops that made fun of Mitt Romney for flipping and flopping on every issue. I still own those, Kane. I still have them. I found them. Nice. I own them. I might wear them still. And afterwards, though, even though it was Mitt Romney, what were you going to do, vote for Barack Obama or allow your vote to be counted against you by not being present? I mean, I just noticed that those partisan lines on the right did not run deep like that, even though I feel like there was such vicious opposition to Romney from grassroots conservatives. And so fast forward to now. This isn't even on policy. Like, the reason that so many people, I think, had opposed Romney, like myself, is he invented Obamacare in Massachusetts, and he was disingenuous when discussing the issue. And his campaign, he was, you know, tried to be nice and smiley and Mr. Christian on TV, but behind the scenes, like, his people were trying to get me fired from CNN. They wanted me to be on with a Romney surrogate every single time that I was going to go on television and do analysis. I mean, that it was that bad. I never had a presidential candidate do that to me before, ever in my life, ever. He was the one who did. Never had anybody else do it. So I told you I hold grudges. So with this, it's not even policy. It's just personality. And I don't know why people need to keep trying to beat a dead horse. The primary is over. Everyone's acknowledged it. Doing anything other than going forward and trying to get voters makes me think that the people who are refusing to do that are psyop plants who are here to further divide the right. I am of that opinion wholeheartedly now. If I see people out there pushing division and I don't know you in person, I will immediately assume that you are a psyop plant who is here to continue to divide the right. That's honestly what it is. So be careful of that stuff. But Johnson's telling people to knock it off. He told the Republicans at the House retreat in West Virginia last week to cool it. He said, quote, "I am vehemently opposed to member-on-member action in primaries because it's not productive. And I'm telling everyone to knock it off." Because that's what's happening. A lot of them, now the one against, like, for instance, Tony Gonzalez of Texas, he's a gun control guy, so that did it for me. But some of these other primaries, it came down to literally being a case of who did you endorse in the presidential primary? I'm not even kidding you. In Texas, it was most of the races, save for two, were like that. And both of those races are going into a runoff. The Gonzalez race isn't like that. He's a gun control guy. Like I said, he backed a bunch of gun control package in the wake of Uvalde. And that's a deal breaker for me, that issue. So, I mean, that's not really petty partisan primary fighting based on who endorsed whom in the presidential primary. That's a policy issue. And I think that when you have Republicans that betray people on policy like that, yeah, then you get the brass knuckles out, which are legal in Texas now, rhetorically speaking. It's true. I mean, that's what these primaries were made for. But these other ones, if it's just an issue of personality from the presidential primary, that's stupid. Why are you giving ammo? Why are you just making up ammo based on pettiness for the left? Now, one thing that Republicans are going to have to get a handle on, no matter how dumb we think this issue is being brought up and used as leverage by Democrats, is the abortion issue. They're going to push this because it's an issue that Republicans are mush mouth about because they don't know how to answer it. They're trying to give a focused group answer that they think is going to appeal to every voter that they need. The hardcore base, the people who are states' rights, the people who are, you know, a little bit more libertarian, and the moderate Democrats who are convinced by other Democrats that exceptions don't exist for the life of the mother. Republicans are going to have to get better at solidifying and having the same narrative on this.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, the state of California is proposing not to delay rules aimed at reducing water on lawns, concerning environmentalists, because they have zero idea on how to conserve water. I mean, you're literally right by the ocean. Desalinization plants.
They had all that rain, and now they're like, yeah, we're good.
Desalinate your water. Yeah, they had all that rain, yeah. So they're they're like, oh, okay, we're good now. They're just going to blow through it, and then they're going to be back on, like, the restrictions. They have no idea how to deal with it. Environmentalists are worried. Environmentalists are worried, though, over the wrong things. Like, they have no idea how to maintain proper forestry habits, no idea how to clear brush. They think that any of that is, like, cruel. But then when there's a giant fire, a wildfire, they, oh, how did we get that? They have no clue. A Las Vegas company has introduced AI real estate to help families find homes. Why am I getting a South Park feeling from this? They're redefining the way companies operate, and a local agency is using AI. It's a conversational luxury real estate agent. You're fake, with a so weird headline or a hairline, a fake weird hairline. It's a thing called Luxora, created by this luxury realty group. And the broker said they partnered with tech platforms to make it possible. Everything is going to be AI, isn't it? Everything. Where's Smod? Is that going to be more helpful, though, for people? I don't think so. Let's see. Oh, I hate you, Kane. I had to make you read this. A man was charged with being nasty at a Safeway market. Stephen Masalta, 32, was busted last month on charges that he had solo romantical times outside of numerous coffee shops and businesses in the Fort Collins area. And, oh my gosh, why is he so weird? And he was in a Safeway. He was inside the Safeway, and he... things that were not commercially sealed, he put stuff on. That's all I'm doing. I'm not going anymore. You get the idea. The worst thing that you can think of him doing, he did it. He did it. Think of American Pie, but with all the produce and anything that was not sealed in the aisles. I'm not even joking you. Not even joking you. All right, so coming up, Law and Order, free speech as well. Stick with us.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage, by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Justice Jackson?
So my biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways in the most important time periods. I mean, what would you have the government do? I've heard you say a couple times that the government can post its own speech, but in my hypothetical, kids, this is not safe, don't do it, is not going to get it done. And so I guess some might say that the government actually has a duty to take steps to protect the citizens of this country, and you seem to be suggesting that that duty cannot manifest itself in the government encouraging or even pressuring platforms to take down harmful information. So can you help me? Because I'm really worried about that, because you've got the First Amendment operating in an environment of threatening circumstances from the government's perspective, and you're saying that the government can't interact with the source of those problems.
And Your Honor, I understand that instinct, and I guess what I tell you is the...
Wow. So what you were listening to just then was Ketanji Brown Jackson. She's was speaking with one of the attorneys that's... They're looking at... The Murthy v. Missouri. It is a Supreme Court case where it's examining the collusion between the U.S. government and social media platforms to censor online speech. And I can imagine that this is going to be something that plays into the 230 stuff later on. And that's what you were hearing, some of that discussion. And that was Ketanji Brown Jackson. Of course, she can't even define what a woman is. So I can't imagine that she could define what the First Amendment is either. Welcome back to the program. Bottom of this third hour. Her statement, quote, "My biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways," end quote. Well, that's exactly right. The government is supposed to be restricted and to operate in a limited capacity with respect to the rights of the individual American. That's the whole point of it. And it was written to reflect that. And the natural, our natural rights, the Bill of Rights, you know, our First Amendment, our you know, free practice of religion, our free speech, etc. These, it's not a statement or a declaration of what rights we are granting ourselves within this new framework of government, but rather it was a statement of boundary to the new framework of government as to these are the, this is what we already have as natural rights, and you respect this. It is a statement of limitation to the government. Your rights only exceed so far. That's what all of this was. And so for her to write this is, or to say this, sorry, I'm looking at the transcript of the remarks as well, is pretty wild. She, and that's her biggest concern. Her biggest concern is that. And there was collusion between the government and social media platforms. We saw that. That came out. FOIA requests. We already know all of that exists. Wow. Kane goes, what did you say when we were coming back on air? Well, that's why she's on the. That's why she's on SCOTUS,
yeah, like,
or something.
Now I know why she was put there.
Yeah. It's a free speech. Tech hasn't. The advent of tech with social media platforms and new ways to have conversations hasn't changed the rights of people. All of those rights are applicable. It's not, it doesn't, time does not render a right anachronistic. A right, a natural right, is able to continue existing as a natural right no matter the medium that time provides. And what they're trying to argue is that a right is measured by apparently what is afforded at the time. That's so weird to me. So she's actually trying to say, she was trying to argue in favor of censorship. That's what her question intimates. She's, look, her concern is that the government would be somehow restricted in a significant way with respect to someone's First Amendment. That's, this is the gun control argument, but for speech. Yeah. Oh no, we have all of these modern advancements with firearm technology. Well, the skeleton and the idea of those existed before the Second Amendment was written. The Kentucky gun, the Puckle gun, the Belton gun. We all knew it was possible. The problem was cost. It wasn't cost effective to A, either mass produce, B, they couldn't mass produce, and C, who is going to purchase it because they'd be so expensive. That's why Washington's army didn't have Belton guns, because it was prohibitively expensive. So the idea was already there. I mean, for crying out loud, Jefferson owned a rifle that was later adopted by the Austrian military that was pretty advanced for the time. So he had that as part of his collection. So the idea that natural rights are somehow, like I said, rendered out of date, anachronistic, limited by the time in which they were affirmed is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen argued. Speech is still speech. A medium is irrelevant. Technological advancements are irrelevant. A right is a right. We're going to keep seeing this play out over and over again. We were talking a little bit about Gamergate 2. And even if you don't play games, it's important. It should be important to you. All of this stuff should, because your grandkids do, your kids do. Somebody you know does. Maybe grown women like yours truly does. But Lorraine's going to have a piece that's coming out about this on Chapter and Verse, because you had two things. You have the, speaking of free speech and collusion, the Biden administration is now looking at gamers and people who get on Discord to have, you know, conversations and have meetups and all of this stuff under the guise of, oh, well, there could be some dangerous activity here. Could be a national security issue. Just because somebody's critical of the current administration does not immediately raise the flag of being a national security issue, but that's how they define it. And so the second half of this is this DEI aspect of it. So Gamergate 2, the first one, as I said, had to do with some chick who made a sucky game. Her game was about depression, and it was just, I can't believe anybody would want to play. Here, play a game about depression. Why? And she was accused of trading sex for positive reviews. from gaming journalists. And it developed into this whole thing. And they tried to make, they attacked gamers and tried to make them look like all knuckle dragging dudes. And it was just dumb. So Gamergate 2.0 is very similar. There's this small company. I think they have like 16 people. It's called Sweet Baby Inc. And it's a consulting company that works in DEI. It's DEI crap. That's what it is. It's DEI stuff. And they work with other developers to make sure that their scripts and concepts are DEI good. Not even kidding. To make sure it's all woke. They wokeify it. That's what they do. They're the sanitation department, so to speak. And they apparently, there was a list that was put out. Somebody, I guess he was a gaming journalist and in gaming, put out a list saying these are the developers that this company works with, which I pretty much could figure it out. I mean, you can kind of tell who's wokeified and who isn't. And Sweet Baby Inc. got mad, and then they started recycling the arguments used in the first Gamergate 10 years ago and attacking gamers again and saying that they're targeting us. We're being subject to harassment. And again, being criticized is not the same thing as being harassed. And I hate when people use the hyperbolic language of I was attacked when someone merely disagreed with you. And people are shocked that gamers don't want to have wokery in their games. So that's what this whole thing is. And it is very difficult to, and I'm telling you this just because it's going to probably pop up more and more, especially in concert with this push by the administration to target gamers or people who get on Discord for shady behavior, like they had said with this Office of Management and Budget report. I'm just so tired of this, the DEI stuff and everything. And it shouldn't be, as we were saying, it shouldn't be in games. But they have no to attack the people who are criticizing the woke noise that you're adding to these games is not harassment. Because if you're using that as, like, I guess the new definition of harassment, then could it not also be argued that players who are subjected to endless messaging and narratives about your woke BS, are they not being harassed then by your ideology? I use Gearbox's Borderlands as an example for a couple of reasons, because it's so egregious and they are absolutely, they embrace it whole hog. And also because you have a major movie coming out with Kate Blanchett in the title role, in the starring role as one of the main characters, and you've got Kevin Hart and Jack Black and, you know, all these people who are in this film. And there's no way that it's going to be as woke as what the game is, because the game is so woke. There's like a trans character in one of the Tiny Tina adventures that was like a separate game, like some DLC that you could get. It was like a whole separate thing. And they had a gay unicorn that they called Butt Stallion, right? And they had like all kinds of wokery as it relates to everything. Name it, and they had it in here. It's asinine. And it became so heavy-handed that it was annoying to play. And that's the kind of stuff that Sweet Baby does. They want to make games so annoying to play that you just don't play them anymore. But the other thing that I don't get is they were trying to argue that games somehow are, it's all white dudes. Kane, most of the games, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of indie developers that are coming out, but by and large, the big stuff comes from what country?
China.
No.
Japan.
Japan.
Yeah.
You know, which is run by white men, apparently.
No. Not what I heard last time I
checked. Oh, Japan must be full of white men. Who knew? I can't take these people seriously. This is so dumb. It's so dumb. They're going to try to ruin games. You can't let them. Leave gamers alone. All right. We have a couple of other things I want to make sure that we're hitting everything. Toronto police made all the residents mad. They told everyone to leave their car keys in the front door to avoid thieves breaking in. Thefts have soared 150% in Toronto. Their constable told residents leave their car keys at the front door, so you don't have break-ins. Instead of actually enforcing the law or having stricter punishment to make people reconsider breaking into your car, They just want you to leave your car keys at the front door so they can just more easily take your vehicles.
Should we also park them facing the street?
Yeah, make sure you can park it so where the thief can get out of it. Really, go ahead and leave your front door open, too.
The windows down, too?
Yeah. And leave your front door of your house open, too. They may need to come in and use the bathroom or get a drink or something like that, right? And go ahead and put your valuables out, like on the table closest to your front door. Just lay them out nice and neat. You know, it's good to be considerate to the criminal, right?
They had to decide that this was a good public service announcement. Like in some meeting, in a boardroom somewhere, they had to say, well, what can we do to help curb crime? Let's tell the public to make it easier for criminals to commit crime.
People have had to hide their cars in secret locations and get higher round-the-clock security. In Toronto, their car thefts have soared by over 150%. And that's just within 6 years. So, yeah, their actual lead law enforcement was saying, yes, just go ahead and keep the keys by the front door so people can just take them and, you know, that's, you know, make it easier for the criminal.
Leave a bag of money up there by the car?
Yeah, you might as well. Yeah. You know, I mean, how else do we want to make it? Where do we stop? Like car thefts? We just have like women just, you know, lay on their backs, everything ready to rock so that thieves can have their way too. Like how much you want to sit here and make it easier for the criminal? For real. Go ahead and leave your babies out there on the front porch so they can take them if they need to. You know, make it easy for the criminal. This is so stupid. How about you enforce the law and have maximum penalty? Make people be so afraid of the penalty that they won't do it. Because if common sense and morality isn't going to be supported in this country, well, then you're going to have a pretty brutal penalty in order to get people to walk right.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Ireland now is one of the top 10 investors in the United States economy, and our country stand proudly for liberty and against tyranny. We stand together and oppose Russia's brutal war of aggression in Ukraine. You can clap for that, please.
You can clap for that, please. Got to tell people, but you can clap for it. Good grief, as Joe Biden kind of slurring his way through his address over the weekend. Welcome back to the program, Dana Loesch with you. The conclusion of this third hour. And I looking at the Michigan stuff that we were just talking about, the revisions or that the regulation that the EPA wants to push out and how they had delayed it on like tailpipe emissions and all this stuff, and how the Biden administration is trying to like reach out. He's got to keep the Rust Belt happy and then also the greenies happy. This is what Trump was talking about when he was saying when he was talking about a bloodbath economically. So this is exactly what he was talking about. He was referencing these detrimental policies. And the media, it's a lot easier for them to talk about and make fake accusations about civil wars and threats of violence instead of, oh my gosh, what are Democrats going to do? Because you cannot keep the green people, the greenies, and then the people in the Rust Belt whose livelihoods depend on not stifling regulations from the government. You can't keep both of them happy simultaneously. So what are they going to do? We'll explore more of that throughout the week. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right, it is Joe Scarborough, Cut 15. Listen to what he says here. Still hanging on to this narrative, Juan. Go ahead.
He's talking about a bloodbath for America. It's laid out in the terms of it. And these idiots on Twitter, mm-hmm. These idiots on cable news, mm-hmm. These idiots on Sunday shows going, well, our president, you know, he was talking only about the auto industry, and this is it's just bullshit. Let me say that at 6:15 a.m. It's just bullshit.
Oh, wow, it's 6:15 a.m.
Sure thing, Scarborough.
He's had a lot of coffee, apparently, and none of it was good. All right, folks, that does it for us today. Find us YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. Also, Substack, Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. I'll be back with you tomorrow.